What's new, Nate?
I had a birthday last week.
I know. Do you want to tell everyone which birthday this is?
Yeah, the big 30. The big 30.
Yeah.
Dirty
30. 30's the new 50.
Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, that's what they say. 30's the new 50.
In some ways, I feel like I'm 50. But no, I had a birthday. We had some fun, did some fun things over the weekend. Went to a Luke Combs concert, which was a lot of fun. And
Luke Combs is a country artist?
Country artist, yes.
Okay. Emily, do you know who Luke Combs is?
He's on the Brooks and Dunn reboot album that just came out.
He is.
Nice. So that's and the only way that, I know him.
He sang that song too, Saturday night. But no, I had a good weekend. Good birthday.
Which song?
Yes.
Was it Brand New Man?
Brand New Man.
That's a good song.
Yeah. So.
Well, happy birthday, HBD. Yeah.
Thanks.
Thoughts and prayers from the Cast and Bless Florida crew.
Thoughts and prayers. Okay.
Yeah. What's new with you, Travis?
Best wishes.
That was the only way to get him to stop talking.
New doggo in the house. Was that yours?
No, that's fine. That's my keep. It's all fine.
Oh, I didn't know that was your keep.
You've asked me 15 times, and I've said every time I'm going to use the dog.
You said you were going to use it as your what new? What's new? This is life with me right here, folks. Okay. My what's new, probably not going to be that. Probably what's new with you, Emily?
You can talk about the dog.
No, it's fine. We will save the dog. This for listeners, dear listeners, is what you call a tease. You got to stick around to the end.
Okay.
Is the dog your keep or your release? Can you give us a little tease there?
Both.
Okay, great.
You'll have to stick around to find out.
All right. What's new with you, Emily?
Well, we put out the all call and we got some new reviews.
New reviews,
Nate.
Heyo.
I will start with Dan Daniels 33.
Friend of the show in real life.
He says, "This podcast is so real and woke. I can smell it when I put my earbuds in. Kind of like when you forget to clean your cast net and open up that hatch a day later. Maybe that's why your boat smells terrible."
My boat smells so bad, Nate. Dude, my boat, like the neighbors are going to call about it.
Yeah.
It's not good. It's not a good situation out there.
Wafting through the neighborhood.
Yeah. Subscription should be mandatory for any first-time fishing license purchasers. Hey, that's not a bad idea, Dan Daniels.
Do you think we can get FWC to enforce that?
These guys and gals are spitting out neutron star hot takes on all things hunting and fishing in Florida. I love how they tackle the real tough subjects each week. If Teddy Roosevelt and Ernest Hemingway were with us today, this is the podcast they would listen to.
That's high praise.
That's a great, great review.
If Teddy Roosevelt was with us today, I would like to think he would be charging up San Juan Hill, leading a band of cowboys.
Wow.
For conservation.
For conservation and to overthrow the government of Cuba.
Next review.
That was a Drunk History reference. I just teed up for you. You just totally glared at me through the whole thing.
I don't know what's happening right now. I need to go to sleep.
Okay. Sorry.
But next review, we have to get serious for a second because our friend Schultzy,
Chris Schultz
left this review, and then the next day he got in a terrible accident.
Yeah, he got in a real bad motorcycle accident. So we weren't going to say anything about it, but then he left the review, and we're like, oh my gosh. So it's easy to say thoughts and prayers, but really seriously, like our heart is with Chris right now. So we hope he's recovering. And we're going to go ahead and read his review and do our show as usual because hopefully he'll listen to this in a hospital bed and it'll uplift his spirits. So we're with you, brother.
Hopefully.
Poor Chris.
All right, Chris, here's your review. Duck done right. This sounds like... I'm just going to read this and then you guys can jump in. I'm just going to read the first sentence. Ready? Talk duck deglazing to me more often.
What a great sense
of humor.
I feel
like that is for Nate.
It was clearly directed at Nate.
Sub out that wood duck from Nate's recipe with a fat bread eating golf course hybrid. Start with a cold dry pan on medium heat. Score the fat, salt, and pepper. Place it pan fat side down about 7 minutes. This is a full recipe. 7 minutes on that side, then flip for 2 to 3 minutes. Pull it medium rare. Let rest on a cookie rack. Strain fat from pan, leaving 2 tablespoons for sauce. Save that tasty gold to make vegetables better all year.
He's right about that, you know.
Increase the heat to high and add red wine, a dash of honey, a splash of bourbon, tablespoon of good mustard, sprig of rosemary, reduce by half, stirring constantly. Remove from heat and stir in a quarter stick of butter cut into tabs. Pack duck and sauce into a Yeti backpack. Take for non-sponsored. Take for lunch while fly fishing. Slightly better than coot sashimi.
Wow.
Whoa. That's a solid recipe right there.
How do you feel about that?
I got to try it.
Like,
I
just gotta did you see that Nate, like his, fat yeah.
golf course hybrid now.
We almost ran over some golf course hybrids. The other Emily's day. Like, are those really little turkeys? I'm like, no, those are ducks. That's a true story. That happened in the last 24 hours.
It's been a long weekend. So Chris, get better, my man. And we will invite you over and cook you some duck.
Please. Yeah.
Yes.
Or I said we'll cook him duck and take it to him.
Okay.
I'll take it to him.
Go.
I'll go. You're just trying to get rid of me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm. No, never.
You have to stay here and take care of this dog.
Spoiler alert.
What's happening right now?
Okay. This week we've been so discombobulated over the last month. We decided there were a lot of headlines floating around and we needed to tackle some of them because you guys need to know what we think about these things, obviously. Like how are you making decisions about what you think? Both of you looked at me like,
yeah.
I just looked at Nate. I'm like, can you talk? Because I can't.
So,
So
we've compiled some headlines. And I'm going to go first. I'm going to go first and set the tone for this whole thing. Friend of the show. Oh, this is a good one. This right here is what you guys want to call a segue. And I'm not stalling because I don't have the article pulled up on my phone.
You're just speaking in staccato you always do.
Just slowing down the whole situation just a hair. Friend of the show, Fletcher Hallett of Hallett Insurance Company, sent this article in, believe it or not. So we had a phone conversation last week and he's like, have you heard about these zombie mullet on the St. John's River? Have either of you heard about this?
Zombie mullet? No, yeah. I haven't.
Before I tell you about the article, we had a long conversation about it and he sent it over to me. So I was like, we've got to talk about this. But we mentioned last week, Fletcher, Hallett Insurance Company does boat insurance. They also do business insurance. I know we get a lot of small business owners. I'm a small business owner listening to the show. So for your small business needs, both Fletcher and Caroline have bachelor's degrees in risk management and insurance. Did you know you could get a degree in that?
In risk management?
In insurance.
I did not.
Did you, Nate?
That's cool.
I did not know that.
I didn't either. So these are the kind of people you want to talk to about this stuff. When you're talking, especially like a small business owner, you're getting your feet wet in the insurance world. You want to figure out what your risk was. And he's helped us out actually quite a bit over the last week with another project I'm working on that we can't talk about yet. But if you are a small business owner, reach out to Fletcher, F. Hallett. That's 2 L's, 2 T's at HallettInns.com. HallettInns.com. Or you can call his cell 904-315-5812. You could even text him if you wanted to. Anyway, back to the zombie mullet. Was it divers in the Blue Springs? So Blue Springs is off the St. John's River. They found these mullet. I'm going to show you a picture, Emily. Nate can't see the picture. But they have lesions on them and they're missing scales. And like the scientists are saying they've never seen anything like this before.
It's like leprosy on a fish.
Yeah. What are those little spiky fish? Do you remember this from the book when we were kids? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
They were the little fish and they like nested and they had spikes on their back. You don't remember this from my dad's book on his bookshelf?
No. If I saw a picture, I probably remember.
Anyway, that's what they look like. They look almost like a goby or something. Like they're just strange. Anyway, they don't know why they're having this. There's been blue-green algae blooms in the St. John's River. Spoiler alert, that's not the South Florida Water Management District.
Right.
And they don't know why this is happening. So they don't know if it's an aberration. They don't know if it's a one-off event. They've got scientists there from Stetson. They've got scientists there from a whole bunch of places looking at them, trying to study it. They don't know why. They're also losing scales, which is super strange.
Right.
So anyway, that's
interesting.
And P.S., every article we talk about, we will put a link to in the show notes. So if you guys can go read up on this and explain to us why this stuff is happening, that would be awesome.
Where did they find them again?
In the St. John's River, Blue Springs.
Mm.
Blue Springs State Park, which is right down. Remember when we went to Stetson? Right down the road from there.
Interesting.
So, yeah, they're not sure why. One of the scientists was like, we've seen smaller bits of fungus on sunfish, but not on anything else. And this is on mullet, which is more of a saltwater fish that they travel up and down the river. So anyway, not a great thing. Like, I don't know what the answer is, but it's clearly not a great thing when you have fish losing scales and growing lesions.
No, I would agree with that. I feel like that's the right statement.
Seems like some kind of radiation or something's gotten into the water.
Yeah, I'm going to go not radiation. I'm gonna
no,
go,
probably
I'm gonna
not,
go.
But, you know.
I'm going to go they're not zombies. This is not The Walking Dead.
No.
I have a thing.
What is your thing?
This is actually going to be so relevant. You guys are just going to be proud of me.
Is it about snacks?
No, it's about water. Scientists from Columbia University and the Woods Hole Oceanographic. Hang on. Oh.
No.
Wait, what?
You don't have to correct that because I'm leaving that in.
How do you say
Oceanographic?
That? Institution spent 10 days towing electromagnetic sensors from New Jersey to Massachusetts in the water. I didn't even know there was an ocean between New Jersey and Massachusetts.
Okay.
They
you are really giving your credentials on this one.
Electromagnetic waves traveling through the water, and they found freshwater reservoirs in the ocean.
Do you know? Did you see this article?
Yes, I did.
How do you feel about this?
They're saying freshwater underneath the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Not like suspended in the salt water.
Yes, thank they're you
saying,
for clarifying that.
They're saying, and not even lenses, they're saying like beneath the terrain under the water.
Yes.
Yeah. Like underground, underwater.
Yeah, subterranean underwater.
It's like aquifers right. under the water.
Yeah, they're saying are as big as the largest terrestrial aquifers.
Right.
So like the Floridan aquifer or whatever. I don't know what the biggest ones are, but there's a bunch of them out there. And this is as big as the biggest.
Yeah, so they were like excited, obviously, because so many of the aquifers are tapped to run out.
Oh, this is great news because we can screw this up.
Right.
Yeah. This is like huge potential for us to just ruin it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's kind of cool though. Like, I feel like God's like, watch this. I'm just going to hide some water under the other water until these dummies can find it.
Has Zephyr Hills water in Poland Springs already been in contact with those researchers so that they could pump that water out and bottle it?
I don't know.
Oh, you didn't know Nestle already bought those?
Yeah, so we could throw it into some reasonable single-use bottles.
Yep.
What do you got, Nate?
Okay, so this guy in Louisiana killed this deer that has markings, like facial markings, and two fangs.
Canine teeth.
Like ancient white-tailed deer that are now extinct.
I saw that picture.
Yes. And so, like, all these scientists are like, well, this could be, like, genetically closer to the ancient deer than to the, well, not closer, but, like, a genetic anomaly harkening back to the other deer.
They've seen
the extinct deer.
They've seen markings on other deer that were close, but they've never seen them this distinct. What do they call it? Like eye makeup or
distinct.
Something like that. It looks like a Y like, around his forehead and down his nose.
Right, exactly.
It's black.
Dark, like
black
a dark,
mascara.
Like a black Y, yeah. Hmm. Like makeup.
Did you see who shared this?
Did I see who shared it?
Dave Mizzajucci.
Oh, that's who it was, yeah.
Who's not a deer hunter at all. He's the naturalist that we had on.
Also, he prefers David.
David Mizzajucci, sorry. From NWF.
From NWF, yeah.
And it's a QDMA article.
Yeah, it is. And like these fangs, there are some deer species in the world that still have fangs.
Yeah, like, South America somewhere.
Well, there's some like in Asia. I know like Russia has some called the musk deer that have fangs. But there used to be some in North America back in the day, but they went extinct. But this deer actually had fangs protruding out of the top of its mouth.
Have you seen the theory that says that where deer had fangs, you know how the deer have the black lines that go around their muzzle?
Mm-hmm.
Those line up with where the fangs were.
Gotcha. Oh, that's interesting.
Isn't that weird?
And you know elk have like ivory tips in their mouth that are kind of like reminiscent, like a leftover from fanged deer.
No, that was one of the more interesting articles I've seen in the last week.
Yeah, super, super interesting.
So we have zombie fish and vampire deer.
And water, fresh water under the salt water
that
we're going to pump out. That's not going to cause any problems.
Maybe they're not going to pump it out, man.
Really? Do you think somebody's really not going to try to figure out a way to capitalize on that?
They're going to be like oil rigs out there, but yeah. There'll be water rigs.
You think somebody's going to say, let's do what's right. Let's make the best choice we can for the planet. No, someone's going to see dollar signs and be like, please. About to make that happen. All right. You guys see? I got one for you. My phone locks and then I can't unlock it because of the stupid microphone. Hunters can now use shotguns to pursue pythons in the Everglades.
I did see this.
So in the past, they have not been able to use shotguns. The park superintendent, this crap bothers me. The park superintendent made it very clear that they're not allowing hunting in the national park. They're just allowing them to use shotguns to kill snakes.
To hunt snakes, right.
So when a poacher sneaks in and poaches something, these hunters were doing something illegally. But when a guy's going in there legally to remove an invasive species and using a gun, we can't call that hunting?
Right.
Baloney. Get out of here with that.
Yeah.
Get out of here with that, National Park Service. Get out of here with that, Pedro Ramos. Anyway, it is a good thing that they're allowing them to do that. And hopefully those guys that are doing it are respectful. They do a good job because I see that as a win for hunting.
Absolutely. I do too.
But that's gaining back yardage.
Yep. Absolutely.
I'm trying to think of like a similar thing in the world where you wouldn't call it hunting, but I can't.
Where you take a gun and you go and kill a thing that's in the wild.
Right.
I think if you look it up in Webster's, that's the picture next to the word. Anyway.
I feel like if you think about like you don't call the death penalty murder.
No, it's not the same thing.
It is, though.
It's not.
It's because people can't stomach it.
I get that, but what I'm saying is this guy is making the distinction, and this same guy would make the distinction and say, if someone broke in after hours and shot a deer with a rifle, it's a hunter doing something illegal. It's mm-hmm. not a poacher, which Nate and I would very much like those to not be affiliated with hunters because they're not.
Right.
Hunters are doing it ethically by the book. The problem is his verbiage.
Right.
He called the person poaching a hunter.
What he did, and I'm making that analogy.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'm just simply saying what they're doing is, by definition, hunting.
Mm-hmm.
They are pursuing a game species, and they're doing it with a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
That's hunting.
I get it.
So
I totally get it. I just think it's definitely not the only thing in our society that we don't call it what it is.
And I struggle with this one because I don't like the idea of celebrating pythons. Like, I feel like if you go outside the state, like Nate and I've had this conversation before. Like, Meat Eater a while back did a big article of pythons and the Everglades and all this stuff. And I'm like, come on, dude. Of all the stuff in Florida, that's what you got to talk about?
Yeah.
Like give us some credit. But so I don't like celebrating pythons too much, but I do think this is a positive thing all the way around.
I agree. I totally agree. Absolutely.
Good for FWC. Good for the state. Good for the National Park Service. This is right.
Yep.
Who's up?
I'm up, and speaking of hunting and guns, so we're supposed to be talking about fishing this time of year, but oh well.
I am so tired of fishing right now. like, am I sunburnt still?
Yes, your little cheeks are
red.
Oh
my goodness, I'm tired.
Okay, so I ran across this article today. It's called The Hired Guns of Instagram, and it was fascinating to me because I have my degree is in communication and I work closely with marketing people, and I never thought about this from this article. So Facebook and Instagram are anti-gun. So they don't let you sell them. They don't let you do ads for them, nothing. So this article talks about a gun safe company.
Liberty Safe?
Yes. And they can post pictures of their safes like on their Instagram account, but the doors are always shut because they can't show guns in the safe. So what they do is they give a safe away to a social media influencer. Usually it's a really beautiful woman.
Surprise.
Who also hunts.
Hot girl privilege.
Right. And shut up. And they give them the safe, and then the woman will promote on her feed and basically advertise for them. And so the online influencers are driving all of the marketing for the gun industry right now because they can't do it anywhere else. They can't do their own ads on Facebook or Instagram, even paid.
Gotcha.
That is so fascinating.
So they're paying influencers.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Right.
To do it for them. Yeah.
Right.
Which
that's interesting.
You and I have talked about this before. Like the marketing in hunting and fishing is broken. When you look at that relative to like what we've talked about with like home improvement and things like that before,
mm-hmm.
like the way curated posts and things go, it's not the same in the outdoors world. This is a weird fix to me. I think it's smart. I don't think it's wrong. It's just a weird fix.
Yeah, it's a weird situation. I was almost at a loss for words when I read through it because I was like, God, I can't believe that this is America and we can't, gun companies can't advertise, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking to the same people I spoke to earlier about if they own a small business, I have a lot of theories about micro-influencers and macro-influencers with regards to social media that I would be willing to discuss because I'm not going to just throw it out there for the
for
masses.
Free, yeah.
Yeah, but... But I would give it to you for free if you want to have a conversation about it. But it's interesting to me. I feel like they're following that strategy because it seems to work. But I think there could be more effective strategies for that. And from Nate's perspective, I'm gonna speak for you, brother. But correct me if I'm wrong, because my perspective is the same. It's almost discrediting to that safe company if they give it to this hot girl that I don't really believe hunts.
Mm.
Like she's getting into hunting.
Yeah.
More power to her. I'm not hating on her because she's doing a hustle.
Mm-hmm.
And I like hustle. You know this. But there's like a inauthenticity to that that kind of resonates. And it sometimes that creates a hurdle to me purchasing your product.
Yeah, I think it's sad, right? Because I think it would be way more authentic for them to give it to somebody like you. And this is not me being biased. I mean, a male in the industry who actually makes a living on it. Than to give it to a hot girl who's not.
Well, I think there's a balance in there somewhere. Because no matter what, sex sells, right?
Yeah, but that's so dumb. I mean, how dumb? Like, are you really going to choose which gun safe you buy based on a pair of boobies?
I'm not.
I won't.
Right.
But what is the rule of seven in advertising? Hmm. Like, at some point, it's just getting your name out there and being seen over and over and over again.
Right.
If it gets seen enough at some point when you go to Bass Pro Shops, you recognize that safe versus the other safe because you've heard of them before.
Yeah. Anyway, interesting read. The link's going to be in the show notes if you guys want to go check it out.
What do you got, Nate?
So this is the last one I have, but did you see where Meat Eater bought First Light?
I did. What do you think of that?
I think it's a smart move for Meat Eater, honestly. Apparently, they're keeping all the same people. They're keeping the company in the same location. They're not moving it. They're not really changing it. They're just basically gaining ownership of First Light, from what I can understand.
Yeah, I couldn't quite figure it out. I'll be honest with you. I'm a Meat Eater fan.
Right.
And I'm a huge First Light guy. I'm a First Light guy. So I couldn't quite figure out why Meat Eater would want to acquire them. Because if you drew a Venn diagram of First Light owners, the chances of them over, like it would be a concentric circle with Meat Eater listeners, right?
Right, right.
So I wasn't quite sure what the market is there. Can't figure that out. But part of me wonders if the valuation on First Light was such that it was like almost a no-brainer for Meat Eater.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They were going to make money off of it no matter what.
Like, it seems like a no-brainer to Meat Eater. It seems if they got that at the right price, which a lot of that stuff's not disclosed. So.
Right, right.
Yeah, that was big news last week. Like that kind of blew up the internet for a minute.
Yeah, it did.
I was texting you about it. Everyone was freaking out about it.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's, you know, good on Meat Eater for making moves, man. That's what I think.
It's all about the hustle, right?
Yeah.
All right. Last one I have is not an article, but is Governor DeSantis signs the largest environmental budget in Florida's history. Did you see this?
No. I did not see this.
Yep. So this was released on June 21st. So just this past week from the Department of Environmental Protection press office. $417 million for Everglades restoration, $100 million for springs restoration, $40 million for alternative water supply. Maybe they need to drill under the ocean. Blue-green algae and red tide research, $25 million. Water quality improvements and water projects, $100 million, or almost $100 million. Florida's prized property, $73 million. Coastal resiliency was $5.5 million. Beaches was $50 million. Kudos.
Yeah.
Like obviously, this wasn't all DeSantis is doing, but it was a team effort, right?
Yeah.
By the elected representation we have in Tallahassee. We love to jump up and down when they get stuff wrong. This is the thing they got right. So,
yeah, let's jump up and down for what to get right.
Big win.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you have one more?
I don't. That was it.
That's all?
That's it.
Okay. Sweet. Could be the shortest episode in the history of episodes.
Are you going to do keep and release?
Yes, we're doing keep and release. Nate, what is your release?
My release is my technology situation right now.
Your technology is bad.
As you can tell, I'm recording again through my phone this week because my computer is still not working right. And I thought I had a solution, but the solution didn't end up being
It will be the solution.
It will be. It just took longer than it should have.
The timeliness.
Record an episode. So hopefully next week we'll be back to normal. You'll be able to hear my voice nice and clear, just like you like to hear it. And we'll be all good to go.
That's why we have a little bit of an abrupt episode. It's like we were before we started recording, it was like that episode where Michael Scott loaded PowerPoint for the first time. And we were all watching Nate's little bar move. Like one little block at a time.
Just installing.
Installing.
Yeah.
Installing. So, it says it's going to be 37 minutes. So it'll probably be about 30 minutes or so. Yes. Thank you, Nate. Kudos. We're making the best of a bad situation right now.
We are. We're holding it down, guys.
What is your release, Emily?
Oh,
or
my
do you
God.
Need to go last because you're keeping your release?
Let me just do this.
Just do it.
So
just rip the Band-Aid off.
You guys, if you've been listening for a long time, you know we had two French Brittany's. We love this breed of dog. They're French Brittany Spaniels. Our older one passed away. It was tragic. And we're in all these Facebook groups for people who also love the breed. Well, one of the breeders in the groups, and we all like know each other and we know each other's dogs. It's really, really sad and really, really funny.
It's a very niche breed. There's not a ton of them out there.
Yeah, but we all like, we'll be walking in our house and be like, I wonder what Max and Sammy Lamington are doing today. Like these other dogs in this group. It's ridiculous. One of the breeders posted and said, I have this girl dog. I'm not going to breed her anymore for whatever reason. Does anybody want her? We're going to get rid of her. And so I'm looking at the pictures of this dog and I'm like, God, she just looks, her eyes look so much like our dogs. And I'll spare you all the details, but it ended up that she is our dog, our younger dog's mother.
Biological mother.
So
Emily is our younger dog's stepmother.
I am destined to only be a stepmother. That is my role in life. And I'm going to get a special damn crown in heaven for it. Let me tell you about that. Anyway. So we went and drove up and got her. We drove to South Carolina this weekend. We left Saturday. What day even is this? This
Saturday.
Is Sunday night.
Yep, came back Sunday.
Yeah, so we've been in the car for like 16 hours, half of it with a feral dog. She's beautiful, but she's never been an inside dog, and it's going to be...
She was a plantation dog for a couple
of
years.
A lot.
So she's got a great hunting drive.
It's like having a puppy, except for she's full grown and can jump. Really
except she's 30 pounds if she's soaking wet. She's the smallest Brittany I've ever seen
in
my life.
Yeah, she's so tiny and petite. Tiny and petite.
She'll be fine. She'll be a cool dog.
She will be, but like Travis is going to work with her all week while I'm at work, not working with her.
Right. Yeah, we're going to make some major strides this week around the house.
So that's my keep and my release because, oh my gosh, she's beautiful and I'm so happy we have her. But also, oh my God, what are we thinking?
You wanted to talk fishing earlier.
Mm-hmm.
My release is this. Got a headline here from the Palm Beach Post. It's one of the few headlines that didn't make my list earlier. Fishing brands squabble. This is the headline. Fishing brands squabble. Who owns rights to upside down Florida image?
Oh, flow grown versus
no,
who?
It's not flow grown. It's local brand. You ever seen local has the
local,
L upside down? Well, another company, both of these companies are in Palm Beach, believe it or not. Another company, Karma Fishing, has created a Mahi logo that has the state of Florida sideways to make the fins.
Oh, that's bad to the bone. I love it.
Oh, yeah. No, that's awesome.
It's pretty cool, right? So now they are in a lawsuit with each other over this? Over the shape of the flipping state. Ugh. And I want to say, like, Amerigo Vespucci probably has rights to that.
Florida.
Yeah, that's the most Florida thing ever. Listen, The founder of Karma Fishing has spent $20,000 in legal fees and was told by his attorney that continuing the battle would cost $100,000 more. Has this cat made $120,000 off this brand? Because I'd never heard of it, and I know about some fishing brands.
No chance.
Like, what the heck is even happening? Anyway, I was like, this needs to be released on every level. What are your keeps? Nate, what's your keep?
So my keep, I got a pair of boots for my birthday.
Oh, let's hear about it.
And I went with the Crispy Summit GTXs.
Ooh.
Now, this is a very just first impression review because I haven't barely even
You've had them for what, 2 days or something?
Yeah, it's not like I haven't even put them on yet. So, so far they're very light. Like I think each boot weighs like less than a pound, or like just less than a pound or something like that. So they're very light boots. Construction seems to be very nice, very quality, high quality stuff we're working with here. So I'm excited to get them on. I'm excited to put some miles on them and just kind of see how they feel.
How many miles have you put on them so far? 20, 25? I mean, you've only had them 2 days.
Yeah, you know.
Because you're doing hike to hunt for BHA, right? Like, I'm sure you got 25, 30 miles in them.
With like 50 pounds on my back, I've probably done 20.
Feet?
But 20 millimeters.
Yeah. You've gone from the kitchen to the couch and to the bedroom? Yeah.
Like holding them in my hands, I've done probably 30 feet.
They feel great in your hands.
Yeah, they do great in my hands. But no, I'm pretty impressed with them so far. But I'll get some better reviews later on down the road.
What's your keep?
Travis Cian said, "Local brand must guard its logo, just as Nike is compelled to stop competitors from using its swoosh."
Nike?
Yeah.
Nike?
Yeah.
Did you just mispronounce Nike?
How did I say it?
You said Nike. Nike.
You said Nike.
Did I not call it Nike?
You said Nike.
Whatever. Don't obscure the fact that local brand is comparing itself to Nike.
Oh, it's pretty ridiculous.
Can you not call it Nike?
It's also pretty ridiculous that you called it Nike.
You can call it Nike.
Nike.
Phonetically, that's really? Do you hang out with your friend Mikey? No, you hang out with Mike.
Okay.
They can't just make up pronunciations.
Nady.
Oh, my gosh. All right, I got this. You're going to love this. I got three keeps. They're mini keeps.
Oh, my God.
These are mini keeps, man. This is a busy week, and I was doing headline research.
I thought you said this was going to be a quick podcast.
It is a quick podcast because neither one of you had any headlines. You were, like, drilling for water under the ocean. That's the most unoriginal storyline I've ever heard.
Oh, my God.
This just in. Air discovered in the atmosphere.
You know what?
I can leave. My keeps are, I've got one you can watch, one you can read, and one you can buy. Okay?
Okay.
First one, the one you can watch, is the new Yeti commercial. Have you seen the Yeti commercial?
I have not seen the
Thousand
Yeti
Miles commercial. From Nowhere.
It's so good.
I feel like
it's not new.
I need to look. Yeah,
but I don't have cable, so it's new to me. Like, I just learned about this on a charter last week. Everybody was like, have you seen this commercial? I was like, no, I don't know what you're talking about.
The cover, the guy who does the cover of that song.
Jesse Woods or something. Like, oh, it's such a good version of Dwight Yoakam's Thousand Miles from Nowhere. So if you haven't seen that, you need to watch it. Something you need to read is from our good friend of the show, Chad Rashar. Did you see his article posted on Backcountry Hunters Anglers? It's called The 21st Century Approach to Conservation.
Oh, I got to check that out.
I may have butchered that title a little bit, but that's what it's about. And really, it's about taking a measured approach to doing your own homework and your own investigation, kind of developing your own personal approach to conservation.
Yeah.
Who you align with and where you align and the decisions you make. So I'll put a link to that in the show notes. And the third thing is something I think you should buy or contribute to, and that is Drake's Adventures Youth Books. Did you see this? I shared a link to this.
I've seen this. I've seen this.
I don't know how new this is or old this is, but this guy has written a couple of books. And him, you'll like this. They're like the little youth books that have the soundboard off to the side that you push.
Mm-hmm.
So like when Tigger jumps on his tail, he makes like a yee-hoo sound. Yeah. But he did it for hunting. So there's one for turkey hunting and one for deer hunting.
Cute.
And he's working on some more. And he's trying to raise money because he feels like this is a good way to instill some of those values in kids that you're reading a bedtime story. Like you can't really, you can take a 3-year-old out hunting, but sometimes that damages your opportunities for successive harvest.
Sure.
This is just another avenue where you can bring that into your house or into their life. Thought it was a really cool, really original idea. So
very cool. Yeah.
Anyway,
very
cool. The guy came up with, his name's Keith Beam, and he's trying to do the best he can with it. I thought it was awesome. As much as we talk about recruitment and all that stuff, that's a very smart way to do it, because then you're instilling something at an even younger age than taking like an 8 or 9 or 10 year old hunting.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's all I got.
That
See,
was
I
good.
Made them quick, even though I did mini release or mini keeps. You can't call it Nike.
Please don't call it Nike.
Where are your
Nike.
Nikes?
Don't call it Nike.
You don't say where are your Nikes?
We'll just say stay wokey.
Oh, God, that was a train wreck.